that when you're in the things of the Lord even blesses your cat, man. He'll bless everything in your house. Even your pets are blessed to be your pets. Amen? Amen. How many people know that? Listen, God blesses everything about you when you're following Him. Amen? And there's literally, when you're in Christ, there is a blessing that just exudes out of your presence. You walk into a room and the blessing of God is there when you're in Christ. Amen? Amen. So today we're going to talk about not just holding on to the blessing, but giving the blessing. We're going to talk about having the spirit of giving. Because there are a lot of Christians out there who, they hold on to a lot of things and they never let it go. You know, we're afraid to let it go. And that's the way the world teaches us, right? The world teaches you that, you know, you're supposed to take and get as much as you can have, and that's success according to the world standard. But see, in the kingdom of God, success is how much you can give to other people. Amen? So I'd like to invite you to turn, if you would, in 3 John. 3 John is like a very little, like half a page, the third to last book in the Bible. So turn all the way to the back of your Bible and just go back a few pages. You're going to see 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. 3rd John is the very last section of it'll probably say the third epistle of John or something like that. And we're going to read from verse 2 through verse 7. From verse 2 through verse 7. Amen. The word of the Lord says, everybody got it? Y'all good? I see some people still flipping pages here. Amen. It says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health as your soul prospers. I want you to hear that verse. He prays that we may prosper in everything, in all things, and be in health just as your soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church, if you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you do well. Because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. Let's pray and let's give this word to God. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you today. We thank you today for your awesome blessing in our life. We thank you, Lord, that whenever we come before you, we can expect to receive a blessing. We can expect that you will just pour out your blessing upon our lives, not so that we can keep it to ourselves, but so that we can give it to others, so that we can plant it into your kingdom, so that we can see your kingdom advance, so that we can see your name spread, your fame spread. And Lord Jesus Christ, right now, Lord, today I pray that you would open up the hearts and the minds of each and every individual in this church. Set us free, Lord. Set us free financially. Set us free in the natural. Set us free in the spiritual. Set us free physically, Lord. Let there be healing in our bodies today, Lord, we pray. Lord, let there be healing in our emotions, in our psychology, Lord, we pray. And Lord, I just loosen upon this church. I loosen upon this church as the Shekinah glory of God. Lord, that the Shekinah that showed up to Moses would show up in our hearts. Lord, that we would be full of it. Lord, that we would be able to give extravagantly to the people who are around us. Lord, that the glories of God may be known upon this planet and upon this earth, Lord, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for it, and we bless you for it. Amen and amen. Now, you see, I don't believe that we can read this passage of 3 John here without understanding the importance of giving. Amen? You see, because there's this thing called spiritual prosperity that he's talking about in verse 2. And when we're talking about spiritual prosperity, we're not talking just about money, okay? A lot of people think that when preachers talk about prosperity, they're just talking about money. But it's not just about money. We're talking about financial prosperity, physical prosperity, prosperity in your health, spiritual, emotionally, in every other way. See, but in order for that to happen, there has to be a giving and a receiving with God. There has to be a giving to God, and there has to be a receiving from God. The principle in Scripture basically is this. It's whatever you sow into the Spirit, that's what you're going to reap. Whatever you plant, the kind of seed that you plant, that's the kind of plant that's going to come up. Amen? Right? And so in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8, it says, don't be deceived, because God cannot be mocked. It says, God can't be mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. He who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit of God reap eternal life. Amen? You see, now that's a principle in Scripture. You can be guaranteed that to the amount that you sow into the kingdom, to the amount that you put effort into the kingdom, that's the blessing that's going to come back into your life from the Lord, from the Lord. So how many people want a blessing here from the Lord today? Amen? We all want a blessing from the Lord. But remember, we need to be willing and ready to sow into the kingdom. Amen? So do you know that Jesus expects his ministers to receive gifts from his people? Do you know that? Jesus expects his ministers to receive gifts from his people. When he sent out the 12 in Luke chapter 9, he sent them out two by two, and he said, I don't want you to work for your living. He said, in fact, you're not even supposed to take any money with you. He said, you're not even supposed to pick up a staff. You're not supposed to even take an extra change of clothes. He said, because wherever you preach, your work, the worker is worth his wages. Wherever you preach, whatever they lay before you, that is your salary. See, and in the early church, this was a common practice. And in fact, this is what John is referring to when he's writing to this letter to a guy named Gaius. These ministers came by, and we read in verse 7, he said, Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. He's talking about people who have come to the church to preach, people who have come, whether they knew them or maybe they were just Christians, but they didn't really know them. They were kind of like strangers to them, but they came with the Spirit of the Lord. And he says, you do well with these people. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner that's worthy of God, you do well. Because, why? Because they went forth for his name's sake, not for their own name's sake. They went forth because of Jesus Christ, taking nothing from the Gentiles, taking nothing from the unbelievers. God told me once when I first started preaching, when I first went full-time in ministry, he said, you'll never work for the world again. You will never work for the world again. And did you know that God has called every single one of you here to be a minister? Each one of us is a minister to the gospel of God. So even if you are working in your job, your primary calling is not to your job. Your primary calling is to the Lord. And wherever you go, he is the one who sustains you. Amen? And we need to understand that. It's very important that we get this really, really well hammered into our head, because if we don't do this, we're going to live in the same kind of fear that the world lives. We're going to be living in the same kind of worry, the same kind of, you know, somebody comes and takes my money. We want to hang on. But the Spirit of God is to give liberally. Amen? You see, in the kingdom of God, giving is living. Giving is living. So in the world, prosperity is measured by how much you have. In the kingdom of God, prosperity is measured by how much you give. And it's not in quantity of dollars. It's more like percentage and more like what's in your heart. Remember the widow with her two mites? She came, dropped two pennies in the offering plate. All these people were dropping hundreds and hundreds of dollars. And Jesus said she gave more than everybody else. You see, so it's what God puts inside of your spirit. It's this desire within you to see the kingdom of God spread. When you give to the Lord, he blesses you back over and abundantly more than you could even ask or think. Amen? So when we speak about prosperity, we're speaking about total life prosperity. We're talking about a wholeness. We're talking about a peace where there's nothing missing. There's nothing broken in every single area of your life. Now, I want you to imagine what it would be like if you could have dinner with a president, or if you could have dinner with a celebrity, somebody that you really look up to. You know, that person that you think that you like them, you may be a good singer, whatever it is. And if you could spend some time, listen, no matter how much you enjoy that meal with that person, no matter how much you want to hang on to it, now this is a little bit of a vivid example, okay, so hang on here. You take that food in, eventually it has to come out, amen? If you hang on to that food, it will kill you, amen? The poison, the acid that it produces in your body will kill you. So in other words, when we apply it spiritually, we can't have any spiritually constipated Christians. There are a lot of Christians. There are a lot of Christians walking around. They have all kinds of blessings, man. And they just hang on to them, and they thinking about the rainy day. And they're just like, they're so pent up with so many blessings of God, and they're still complaining. Amen? See, God wants to give us today a spirit of giving, a spirit of giving out, okay? When God releases a spiritual blessing into your life, whether it's financial, whether it's spiritual, whether it's emotional, it's not meant for you to hoard it. You are not meant to hoard anything. I don't care what kind of blessing it is that's coming to your life. Whenever God blesses you, it's not meant just for you. Amen? It's meant to bless everyone. Amen? So in order to live, you are going to have to give. Amen. Eventually, the stuff that you hold on to in your heart, it will turn to poison, and it will eventually kill you. All right? So now, before we get into the rest of this message of giving, I want to talk about the most important law of giving. This is the number one thing. So if you forget everything else that we're going to talk about in the rest of the sermon, you need to remember this, because it doesn't matter how much you tithe. It doesn't matter how much you give. It doesn't matter how much you're giving out to others. If you don't get this one principle down, then all of that stuff's not going to mean anything. But the principle's found in the book of Job, chapter 22, verse 21. And it says this. It says, acquaint yourself with him, that is God, and be at peace, and thereby good will come to you. Now, I like the way it says it in the Amplified. Listen to this. It says, acquaint yourself with him, agree with God, and show yourself to be conformed to his will, and be at peace. A lot of times we come to God and we say, oh God, I'm going to do what you asked me to say, but you're so pent up and you're so angry inside and you're so anxious. But he says, be conformed to his will and be at peace. And it says, and then by that you will prosper, and great good shall come to you. In other words, you are to seek God before you are to seek things. Amen? You are to seek the provider before the provision. You're to seek the creator before you seek the creation. Amen? The way that good news comes into your life, the way that good comes into your life is by acquainting yourself with God. That's what it says. Psalms 34:10 says that young lions lack and they suffer hunger. That's young lions who have a lot of strength. They lack and they suffer hunger. But those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Amen? All right, so you see, we get so busy seeking things that oftentimes we forget to seek the Lord. And in God's school of prosperity, it's absolute priority to seek God first. It's absolute priority. As you seek him first, then God has programmed his kingdom in such a way that when you seek God first, then the other things will also chase after you. Amen? Amen? See, Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then the other things will be added onto you. But we go after the other things, we're not seeking God, and then we wonder why when we get paid, it's like we're putting our money into a pocket with holes in it. It's like it just goes out. It just goes out. Why is that? Because we haven't made it the priority, number one priority of our life, to seek God. Now, this is a very, very, very crucial biblical principle. In fact, the whole Bible is really wrapped around this principle. If you want blessing in your life, you have to put God first. Amen? You see, so we're to seek God's face, not his hand. All right? Not just his hand. And when you seek God's face first, then you can have whatever is in his hand. Amen? Then all that other blessing is going to come to you. Now, I want to spend the rest of the time talking about what I think is the most difficult thing in the church for Christians to latch onto in this principle of giving, and that is the tithe. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of blessings and curses wrapped up around the tithe, okay? And when I talk about the tithe, people get upset. I mean, I've seen people get up of the church and they walk out because I'm going to start talking about tithing. Pastor, I can't believe you're talking about tithing on a Sunday morning. I can't believe you're saying that on a Sunday morning, you know? You see, but I'm not really talking about money here. I'm talking about your heart. Amen? This is not about a test of money. It's about a test of your heart. And that's what God is telling us. You see, I can't understand why somebody would be so upset about listening to a message on tithing, except that they're so full of fear and so full of selfishness that they're afraid to obey the word of God and to give him what's properly his. There are people so upset, you know, they get up, they leave. But I'm going to tell you, whenever somebody gets up and they're really upset about hearing preachers preach about money, you see, that's a demon on the inside of us that wants to stop us from hearing this message that's going to be preached. Amen? Because the devil knows that the moment that you listen to this and you apply it to your life, you're going to be poured out with so much blessing from the Lord, you're going to put him out of business. And he doesn't want to hear it. He doesn't want you to hear it. He doesn't want you to take it in. See, what happens when you tithe is this. When you tithe, you are connecting to the Lord's covenant promises for your life. That's what happens. You are connecting to God's covenant promises. It's not about money. It's about connecting to the promises that God has promised for us in the Bible. Amen? That's really what it's about. There is no way in the world that a man can connect to his covenant promises unless he tithes. And that's why the devil is all out to stop you from doing this. But the good news is this, is that God is all out to set you free and to bless you today. Now, I want to know, how many people here have had a problem giving their tithes? Amen? Sometime in your life, you've had a problem giving your tithes, right? I mean, you've all heard it. We've been there before. I'm not giving no 10% to the preacher. I ain't to some preacher over there. What, you think I'm crazy? Yeah, he just wants to get my money, right? But you see, the more you start to grow in the Lord and the more you start to get into the Word, you start to realize that your tithe has nothing to do with a preacher. It has nothing to do with a church. It has nothing to do even with the place that you're putting. It has to do between you and God. It's between me and God and what God is trying to accomplish in my life. That's what it's about. And the Lord is saying, will you trust me in this? Amen? So, to get started, let's turn to Malachi chapter 3, because this is a passage, you know, this is the one that all, every time you've heard somebody preach about tithes, they always talk about this, and you heard this probably 1,000 times. But I'm trusting that the Lord is going to give you a new slant, a new revelation, something new for you today that's going to bless your heart, amen? And we're just going to start in verse 10, and then we're going to go back. But it says, bring all the tithes, 10 through 12, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that you will there will not be room for you to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Now, notice what it says. It says, bring all the tithe into the storehouse. Because the Lord says, I'm going to pour on you a blessing, he says. But I want you to notice, I want you to remember, the blessing is not the money. The blessing is not the car. The blessing is not the house. Okay, the blessing that comes from God is the empowerment to make wealth, or the anointing from God to make wealth in every area of your life, not just financially. It's like the empowerment. It's the idea. The Lord says, I'm going to empower you with a blessing that you didn't have before. And that's what comes out of heaven. It's not the car. It's not the house. It's not the money. It's the anointing. It's an empowerment. It's an enablement from God upon you. And the Lord says, I'm going to give you so much that you're not even going to have room enough to receive it, he says. And then in verse 11, he says, and not only that, he says, and I will rebuke the devourer. You know what the devourer is? The devourer is like that thing that happens to you spiritually, where no matter how much money you have, it's never enough. Where no matter how much you get, you can never pay your bills. It doesn't matter how big of a raise you get, it's just never enough. That is the devourer. And the Lord says, I will rebuke the devourer. The word rebuke here, it's like God says, stop no more. When you give your tithe to the Lord, God comes and that place where you're being devoured, and he says, stop no more. Amen? Hallelujah. Now you see, so if there's anything being devoured in your life, God wants to set you free. If you have sudden home repairs that you never had before, if you have your car suddenly breaks down that you never had before, if you're a tither, the Lord comes and he says, stop no more. And furthermore, it says in verse 12, he says, I will make you a blessing to all the nations. He says, all the nations will look and they will see that I have blessed you. They will notice that this is a blessing from God. Now, I want you to notice here, this is a commandment. It's not grievous. The commandments of the Lord are not grievous. It's not made to make you miserable or to make you upset or to not let you have fun. That's not the point. Tithing is the master key for financial miracles in your life. It's the master key. Tithing is the inescapable covenant, and it's an obligation of every single believer, every single Christian. You see, whether you want to or not, you are going to tithe. Whether you decide to give or not, you are going to tithe. Amen? Because it says that if you don't tithe, then there will be a curse upon you, and you're going to lose it anyway. Now, let's go back and let's read that. Malachi 3, 8 through 9. Look what it says back in 8 through 9. It says, will a man rob God? It says, you have robbed me, but you say, in what way have we robbed you? And he says, in tithes and offerings, he says, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Amen? Even this whole nation. You see, the problem in the church is that we like to think, well, Jesus took away the curse. You know, we're not in the Old Testament anymore. We're in the New Testament. Jesus died for our sins, and the Bible says he took away the curse. You know, he took away the curse of a lot of things in your life. He took away the curse of a lot of things, but you're still getting hit. He took your sicknesses on the tree, but you're still getting sick. He took a lot of things away, but lots of times, unless if we apply it to ourselves, we have the freedom to go back and walk in slavery anytime we want. Amen? So see, unless if we apply the principles of God to our life, we're going to end up going back to the place that we were before. And so God says, he says, when you don't give your tithe, you open the door for a curse. Now, Proverbs 26, 2. It says, like a flitting sparrow, like a flying swallow, and this is the part I want you to hear. It says, so a curse without a cause shall not alight. So a curse without a cause shall not alight. What does it mean? It means that if there is a curse upon your life, or there is something you can never seem to make ends meet, you know that the devourer is in your finances. Well, the Bible says if there's a curse on your life, it's because it's there for a reason. Amen? There's a reason it's there. Because a curse upon a person without a cause can never alight. Amen? So see, the difference between the curse and blessing is this. In verse 10, he says, if you give the tithe, I will bless you. And in verse 9, he says, but if you don't give the tithe, you are receiving a curse. The blessing, of course, is the empowerment from God to have success. The curse is the empowerment to have failure. Some of us, we're walking in empowerment to have failure, and we wonder why the more we try, the more unsuccessful we get. Because that's a curse, you see. That's a curse. The curse is the empower. There's power in your life for you to fail, instead of power for you to succeed. See, the very first thing we should do when we get a paycheck and say, I know that this is from you, God. I know that this is from you. And the very first thing I do is I give, liberally. I give to the Lord and to his kingdom. Because I trust in what God is doing in my life. See, when you tithe, you give a reason for the blessing to show up. You give the reason for God to bless you. When you don't, you give a reason for a curse. If you're not tithing, then you're blocking the blessing. In fact, not tithing is a blessing blocker. If you don't want blessing in your life, just don't tithe. You can guarantee you're not going to get the blessing. But look at verse 8. It says, will a man rob God, yet you have robbed me? But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. Now, we all know the tithe is 10%, right? The tithe is 10%. But it says, how do you rob God? They were asking the same thing. How have we robbed you? Very simple. Just don't bring the tithe. Just don't give it. Just don't give it up to the Lord. But now he says, not only tithes, he says, you've also robbed me in tithes and offerings. Now, wait a minute. You may say, well, I don't tithe, but I gave $50 last week. I don't tithe, but I gave something into the offering plate last week. You know, I wrote out the check. Now, you see, the root word for offering is to offer. What you did is you made an offer to the Lord, but he didn't accept it. You made an offer to the Lord, but it's like as if you robbed my car, and you had my car in your house, and then you come and want to give me a gift of your T-shirt. And I'm like, I'm not okay with that. Give me back my car, all right, and then I can accept the gift of your T-shirt, all right? But as long as you've stolen my car, all the T-shirts in the world ain't going to make up for that, right? It doesn't make sense. So we think it's okay to give this $50 offering and not tithe, but by definition, an offering is everything that is over the 10%. That's what an offering is. See, you can't give over 10% if you're not giving 10%. No matter how much you give, once a tithe is out of place, then a curse is going to remain. That doesn't matter. You can be writing out a check for $100,000. It's not going to matter. Because if you haven't given the tithe, you're not open to the blessing. Now, there's something we have to understand here about the tithe. You see, tithing has been in existence before the law of Moses. A lot of people say, well, tithing, that was under the law. I don't have to give my tithe. I'm not obliged to give my tithe. We're not under the law anymore. But wait a minute. You see, tithing was in existence way before God ever gave the law. Way before. And we see two examples of it in Scripture. Way before the Levitical priests were even chosen, we see Abraham in chapter 14, verse 20. He comes and he gives his tithe to Melchizedek, the high priest. And Melchizedek says to him, he said, "Blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And it says, "And he, Abram, gave him," Melchizedek, okay, "a tithe of all." Abraham gave a tenth of everything that he had, right? Again, we see it in Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, where the other patriarch Jacob, he had just had the vision of the house of Beth, of the ladder going up to heaven. He erects a pillar, and look what he says. He says, "This stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that you give me, I'll surely give you a tenth. I'll surely give a tenth to you." Amen? So you know that tithing is much greater and much is much older and much more important than the law. Amen? We know right away just from that it's way beyond and above the law. So what are we talking about here? Are we talking really about giving 10% of your money? Or are we talking about connecting with every promise of God in your life that God wants to bless you with? What is it that we're talking about? You see, I'm going to tell you this. The tithe is your covenant connector. Amen? That is the way you connect into the blessing of God. If you're not tithing, you're not connected. If you're not tithing, you're cursed. That's what it says. The tithe is a covenant connector. Okay? That may explain why life is going so wrong with you all the time. And it may explain why you're on your second and third marriage. It may explain why there's so much sickness in your life. It may explain why there are sudden repairs that always have to be done on your stuff. You see, you have money, but it's never enough. Why is it that you can't connect to God's promises? Why? Because God is not a liar. God is not a liar. So if you're not connecting to God's promises, we have to figure out what is the curse? What is the reason that you're not connecting to his promises? Now, since everybody has such a problem with the law, okay, let's turn back to the law and see what the principle of giving was in the law. Leviticus chapter 27. I thought I marked this and I didn't. Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30. Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30. Look what it says. It says, "All the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord." Now, regardless that this is in the law, that's a principle that works inside the law or outside the law. Okay? Look what it says. It says, "All the tithe of the land, it belongs to the Lord." It says, "Everything is holy to the Lord." In other words, it's not ours. It's not ours. We think we earned it at our jobs. But when you gave your life to Jesus, everything that you earn belongs to him, first of all. 100% belongs to him. But he said that the 10% is holy to him. Holy means untouchable. It means don't touch it. It means separated. It means not to be used for any other cause except for the Lord. That's what it means. When God says, I am holy, it means that he is totally separated from our sin. He is totally separated from everything that we do wrong. He cannot abide sin. That's holiness. So it means that the 10% is his before we ever worked 1 hour. It was already his. It was already his before we ever did one thing. It was already his. Before we ever got up in the morning and we went to work, the tithe was already his. And not only is it his, it is holy unto him, he says. Now look at verse 32 and 31. 32 says, and he says again, and concerning the tithe of the herd of the flock, and whatever passes under the rod, that means whatever comes into your possession, into your house, whatever passes under the rod, the tenth shall be holy to the Lord. And now look at what he says in verse 32. He said in 31, he says, if a man wants to redeem any of his tithe, he shall add one-fifth to it. It means like, if you haven't paid your tithe, and you're supposed to pay your tithe, and now you have come up and say, well, Lord, I want to redeem my tithe. He said, well, now it's going to cost you 20% more. See, God's a businessman, right? Right? He's a businessman. I mean, tell you, see, the thing is, he knows that we do the same thing in the world. We borrow money from the bank and they charge us interest. Or we lend to somebody and we charge them interest. And God says, why are you not respecting me in the same way? He says, you want to borrow? Now the tithe is holy to me. Now you add 20% onto it. Because that's the worth of it now. Right? You see, since I don't charge you to inhale and exhale every single day of your life for the life that I gave you, I'm not charging you for that. I'm just saying give a tenth of what you got. A tenth of your life. It's holy unto me. That's what he's saying. Amen? So Jesus told the Pharisees, and we can see it in the New Testament. He said, you tithe of all your spices and your mint and all that. He said, and you ought to. And you should. He says, but don't forget the weight of your matters, because you see, for the Pharisees, the part that they were being disobedient in wasn't in the tithe. It was in loving people and all about that. You see, but for some of us, the weight of your matter may be the tithe. Because just because you're loving everybody else and you're being disobedient in that area, then you know what? That's a weightier matter for you. Because a weightier matter is a place in where you are being disobedient. God wants you to turn around and trust in him. See, but some people say, well, what is that? That's all I got to do? I just tithe and then I'm going to get everything? No, we know that's not all you have to do. I mean, you can't go around being mean to people. You have to love people. You can't go around committing adultery. All right, you can't go around lying, right? But the point is that the tithe is a major keystone. It's a major keystone in your life to release God's blessings upon you. It connects you to God. It is vitally important because it connects you to his promises. All right, now let's turn back to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. And we're going to see how this worked, how this walked out in the life of Abraham. Amen? In the life of Abram. God shows up to Abram and he says, I'm going to bless you. And notice what it is. Notice what it is he says. The Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country, away from your family and from your father's house to a land that I'm going to show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Notice, I'm blessing you. Why? So that you can be a blessing to everyone else. He says, Abraham, I'm going to bless you, not so that you can hang on to that blessing just for yourself, but so that you can bless everyone else. And then he says this, and I will bless everybody that blesses you, and I will curse him who curses you. And then he says this, he says, in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. Amen? You see, that's what God wants for you. He wants all the families of the earth to be blessed through you. Amen? But we need to get into that giving spirit that God expected Abraham to have. Amen? The giving, the blessing to other people. Amen? Now, again, the blessing is not the car. It's not the house. It's not the money, okay? It's an enablement. It's an anointing. It's an ability. It's when God lights up a pathway and he empowers you. Look what he said to the people of Israel in Deuteronomy 8:18. When they were going into the promised land, he had delivered them from Egypt, and he said, "You shall remember the Lord. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant that he swore to your fathers." Who were the fathers? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay, so when God established this covenant right here with Abraham, he was establishing a covenant that they were supposed to remember the Lord, because the Lord was the one who was empowering them with what? What was the blessing? The blessing was an empowerment to make wealth. He didn't say, you see, we think that we give our tithe, we run to the mailbox to see if we got a check. That's not how it works. He says, "I will give you an anointing. I will light up a path. I will give you a revelation. I will make everything go right in your life. And if you go along with what I give you, you will become exceedingly rich in every area of your life. You will prosper." That's what he's saying. Amen? And that's what happened to Abraham. So you see, there's a difference between just wealth in the Old Testament and wealth in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the kingdom was a physical kingdom. In the New Testament, the kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. Amen? And so back then, it was a curse to be physically poor. But Jesus came along, and in Luke chapter 6, he said, "Blessed are the poor, so that you can look into the kingdom of God first and then worry about the kingdom of heaven. You look, seek God first, and then he will bless the rest of the things that you got." But the question is this: how do you partake in the covenant? How do I partake in the covenant? Now look what Abraham did later on in verse 18. And then from here, we're going to go into the New Testament so that you guys can understand why you don't need to listen to those sorry excuses of people that say, "Well, the tithe is just for the Old Testament. It's not for the New Testament." We're going to go into the New Testament, and we're going to see how it works. But look what Abraham did. He was blessed. And then in chapter 14, the Lord had blessed him again. And he came back from having fought and won a war. And he met Melchizedek, the king of Salem. It says, verse 18, "Then Melchizedek, the king of Salem," later to be Jerusalem, right? And Jerusalem was the place of God's sacrifice. "He brought out bread and wine, because he was the priest of the Most High God." And he, what does it say? It says Melchizedek was what? He was what? What was he? He was the king, and he, at the end it says he was also what? A priest to the Most High God. Okay, don't forget that. That's very important. He was a priest to the Most High God. Verse 19 and 20. It says, "And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And it says, "And he," Abraham, "gave him," Melchizedek, "the tithe of all." Amen? You see, Abraham gives Melchizedek the tithe. What is it that Melchizedek gave Abraham? He gave him what? A blessing, right? What did Abraham give Melchizedek? What did Abraham give the priest? Guys, are you guys with me here today? He gave him the tithe, right? All right. And what did Melchizedek give Abraham? Okay, let's try it again. What did Abraham give Melchizedek? Okay, and what did Melchizedek give Abraham? Okay, you see the tithe and the blessing, the tithe and the blessing, the tithe and the blessing, right? The tithe is obviously the avenue by which Abraham became a partaker of the covenant, okay? So does everybody see that? Does anybody have a problem with that? You can understand. He gave the tithe, and he received the blessing. Now, I don't want you to notice what happens right after that, What happens right after that? Because Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord makes a man rich. Okay, the blessing of the Lord makes a man rich. But look what happened. Right afterwards, it says, now the king of Sodom, this was an evil king. The king of Sodom said to Abraham, give me the persons and take the goods for yourself. But Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing, not a thread to a sandal strap, that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say that I have made Abraham rich. Amen? So what is he saying? He's saying, look, Sodom, you're coming to me, and you're trying to offer me all this wealth. He says, it's too late. You've come too late. I don't need any of your stuff. I've already entered into a covenant with my God through tithing. I've entered into a covenant with my God because I gave him the tenth, and I don't need anything that the world has to offer. See, the problem is this. It's when you don't tithe, you need what the world has to offer. And instead of entering into a covenant with God, you enter into a covenant with men and you become cursed. You understand? Because when it's not working out, because the blessing of God is not upon you, you start looking for that blessing in other places. And immediately, you're under the curse of the Lord. Abraham was able to dodge that. Because Abraham knew that he wasn't going to get anything from the king of Sodom. He says, and lest that anybody should say that the king of Sodom was the one who made me rich. Hallelujah. Now, let's go to the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 6, the last verse. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 20. So we see Abraham and Melchizedek here. A man given to the priest given the blessing. A man given to the priest given the blessing. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 20, now it's talking about Jesus Christ. We're on the other side of the resurrection. We're on the other side of the promise. And look what it happens. It says, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to what? It says, Jesus has become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Okay, I want you to, what are we talking about here? The order of Melchizedek is the same high priest that Abraham was given his tithe to. It's outside the law. It has nothing to do with the law. Jesus became order of this high priest. In fact, he was made high priest by God. In other words, you want to know what kind of high priest Jesus is? He's the same kind of priest we just read about in the Old Testament with Melchizedek. That's what the New Testament is saying. Now, you guys understand, we're talking out of the New Testament. We're talking out of the New Covenant, right? Okay, for people who say it's not part of the New Covenant, okay? You see, Jesus is exactly that. Jesus is a co-order of the high priest Melchizedek. What did he do? Here we have a man bringing a tithe to the high priest, and the high priest bringing the blessing to the man who gave the tithe. That's what it is. So look what it says in chapter 7. It says, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who made Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. We just read it. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part, first being translated king of righteousness, and then also king of Salem, meaning king of peace. Okay, it's an emblem of who Jesus was to be. It says, he was without father or mother. We don't know his genealogy. Having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but he was made like the Son of God. Obviously, it's saying here that Melchizedek's order in the Old Testament is Jesus' order. It is Jesus' order. And he remains a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. And indeed, those who are of the sons of Levi, okay, now we're talking about Levi, Leviticus, the law. The reason the law was given was to show us what sin really is, so that we can distinguish what sin really is. And of course, God put the tithe in as part of the law as well. But it's above the law. And then it continues saying, the sons of Levi, because that in their brethren, those who receive the priesthood have a commandment to receive tithes from the people according to the law. We just said it. That is from their brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abraham. But he whose genealogy is not derived from them, that is Jesus or Melchizedek, he receives the tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. Now, beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. So what are we talking about here? You see, in my covenant relationship with my high priest, Jesus Christ, he is the better. I am the lesser. Right? So I am blessed by Jesus, who is better than I am. Brother, we take that into society already, right? Because we have schools where teachers teach children. The children are being blessed by their teachers. You want to have a good basketball team, you're going to have a good coach. So that the lesser can be blessed by the better. That's what it's saying here. We're less than Christ. We come to him, offer our tithes, so that we can be blessed by the better. It says, here, mortal men receive tithes, but there he receives them, of whom it is witnessed that he lives. Look what it says. It says that here, mortal men, we give our tithes to the church or to the preacher or whatever, but in the spirit, it's Jesus, your high priest, who is receiving the tithe. Do you see it? That's what it says, right? That's what it says. Here we give to mortal men, but there it is he. It's he who receives them, of whom it is witnessed that he lives. Even Levi, who receives tithes, paid tithe through Abraham, so to speak. Now listen to this. For he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Wow. This is what he's saying here is that Aaron and all the Levitical priests were paying tithes in Abraham even though they had not been born yet. Wow. Now that's amazing, brothers. That's amazing. Look at the way that God looks at it. This is the way that God looks at it. They paid their tithes even while they were still in the loins of Abraham before they had been born. In other words, when you pay your tithes right now, all your children, your grandchildren, and your great-great-great-great-grandchildren are going to be blessed. Hallelujah. That's what it's saying. So that the blessing comes out of your life when it's affected by God. You see, the blessing comes to your life. And it's affected by God. And now your children, your grandchildren, all your great-grandchildren are going to be blessed. I know that that's true in my own life. Because I know that I've been very blessed by God. I have been, and I'm not saying I'm the richest person in the world, that I have all the cars and all the money. That's not what I mean. But I know that there is a blessing upon my life that Satan cannot stop. And I want to tell you the reason it's there. The reason it's there is because I have generations on both sides of my father that have been paying tithes for generation upon generation. Because on my father's side, I come from a line of pastors and priests going all the way back to the Reformation. Amen? I mean, that's a powerful blessing on my line. Did you know that my great-great ancestors came from a royal family? My uncle did all this research in Germany. He found out that my great ancestors, they came from this royal family. But this one woman stepped out of the royal lineage because she wanted to marry one of the pastors in the Reformation. And she had to denounce publicly with witnesses that she was giving up her royal line, her royal blood. She was giving up her royal titles. Her name was Elizabeth Schreiber. She gave up her royal titles in order to marry into the family of God, which is the greater. Amen? And you see, from then on, there was a whole line, generation upon generation upon generation, that tithed unto the Lord. And on my mom's side, it goes the same way back into Germany for many generations back. And because all those were blessing God, the blessing is upon me and my family. Amen? You see, when you start giving your tithe right now, you are affecting the future generations of your family for God to be able to bless them. Amen? That's what it's saying. That's what it's saying. Let's go to verse 11. It says, therefore, if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should arise according to the order of Melchizedek and not be called according to the order of Aaron? In other words, he's saying, if tithing under the law was so good, why do we need this whole other system? And he's going to tell us, verse 12. He says, for the priesthood having been changed of necessity, there is also a change of the law. You see, we have Jesus now, who is our high priest, and we have to now change this whole law thing. Amen? Verse 13. For he whom these things are spoken belongs to another tribe, from which no man has officiated at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord, who arose from Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning the priesthood. He said, now look, wait a minute. We got this high priest that is not from the tribe of Levi. He comes from the tribe of Judah. And because he came out of the tribe of Judah, that is actually against the law. That means that now the law must change. Anybody who's in Christ has to have a change of priesthood. That's why, no matter how Jewish you are, you can't follow the law anymore. Because you can't offer the sacrifices anymore. Because the temple in Jerusalem is not available for you to do that. Because Jesus offered the final sacrifice in his body. Amen? So everything has changed now. And look what it says. What kind of order was this? Verse 18. Verse 15. Let's go to 15. I think we're on 15. It says, and it is yet far more evident if in the likeness of Melchizedek there arises another priest who has come not according to the law of fleshly commandment, but according to the law of an endless life. Amen? We're not talking about a high priest who became high priest because of the law. Okay? Jesus was called. He was made high priest by God Almighty. He has an indestructible life. Nobody could kill him. Death couldn't hold him down. And there's no way that he's going to die. And now because he's going to be priest forever, that means that this order of Melchizedek is going to continue forever. Amen? Verse 18. It says, for on the one hand, there is annulling of the former commandment because of its weakness and unprofitableness, for the law made nothing perfect. But on the other hand, there is a bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. And inasmuch as he was not made priest without an oath, for they who become priests without an oath, but he with an oath by him who said, the Lord has sworn and will not relent, you are priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Look what it's saying. It said all the other priests, they became priests just because they were born into the lineage. But Jesus became priest because God raised up his hand and he swore that he would be. God literally swore and said, Jesus will be high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Forever. Indestructibly forever. Amen? Hallelujah. So now you see, this order of Melchizedek, if Jesus is high priest by the order of Melchizedek, and in the order of Melchizedek, what do we see? We see a man bringing a tithe to the priest and the priest dispensing the blessing. That is the order of Melchizedek. Then that means that if Jesus is going to be high priest in that order forever, then tithing is going to continue on forever. Do you understand? When Jesus returns again in the millennium, tithing is still going to continue. And you read it in Zechariah chapter 14. He says he expects every nation to come up to Jerusalem and offer their sacrifices to the Lord during the millennium that Jesus returns. He says, and if a nation does not come up to Jerusalem and does not offer their sacrifices, there will be a curse on that land and they will not receive rain. They will not receive prosperity even in the millennium. Amen? As long as Jesus is high priest, the tithe is always going to be in effect. Because that is the order of Melchizedek. So you see, here's the guy. He says, I'm here to receive the man's tithe, and I'm going to dispense God's blessing. Verse 22. By so much more, Jesus became a surety of the better covenant, this covenant. Also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. Obviously, they died. They couldn't continue to be priests. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Verse 25. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting to us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those high priests did, to offer sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's sins. He did it once and for all when he offered himself. Okay, because in the Old Testament, what happened? Once a year, at the Feast of Yom Kippur, right, they would have the Feast of Atonement, and the high priest would have to offer a sacrifice in blood. He would have to offer a sacrifice first for his own sins all by himself, because he had to enter into the holy, holy, holy place of God. And if he did anything wrong, if there was any sin on him, he was going to be, but they would tie a rope around his waist. So that when he would go into the Holy of Holies, if God blasted him because of his sin, nobody else would have to go back there and drag the body out. They would just pull on the cord and his body would come out, so nobody would have to go into the holiness of God. Because everybody was afraid that anything could happen to them. So first he had to offer a sacrifice for his own sins, and then he had to offer a sacrifice for the people's sins. And he did this year after year after year after year. Now Jesus comes along and he says, wait a minute, he says, now I am the high priest, and I am going to become the sacrifice myself. I'm not only going to offer it, I'm going to offer my own body as a sacrifice, and since I am the high priest, it is legal. Amen? It is legal. And so he does the sacrifice one time and for all, and he enters into the holiness of God, and he brings a blood sacrifice that washes away the sins of the world. See, now when we enter into covenant with Jesus and we come and we give our tithe, all the blessings of the high priest come upon us. Amen? Amen? Look at verse 28. For the law appoints as high priests men who have weaknesses, but the word of the oath, God who swore, will come after the law appoints the Son who has been perfected forever. Amen? In other words, he was set aside to be my high priest. Why? So that I can now take the 10% of my increase, present it to my high priest, Jesus Christ, and expect to receive a blessing from my high priest, Jesus Christ, upon me. Amen? Hallelujah. Does everybody see this? Do you guys get this? Amen? This is very intense. This is very intense. If you want to see the glory of God, you have to enter into tithing covenant with your high priest. You have to understand that when you come and you bring your tithe to the basket right here, or you put it in the basket at the back of the church, you are not giving to the church, man. You are not giving to a preacher, okay? In fact, if it's for that, don't give your tithe. I don't want it. In fact, the church doesn't need it. I'm not up here preaching this because the church is in need, because we need somebody to give us money. It's not because of that. This is for your benefit, to set you free. Amen? This is for your benefit. So you see, this is why we give tithe the way we do. We don't pass out the offering basket. Why? Because when you come, it's supposed to be an act of worship to Jesus. You are not giving to the church. You are giving to your high priest, who is Jesus Christ. Amen? And when you come in the middle of worship, and you come and you drop that tithe here, you're with your hands opening and you're worshiping God and you're saying, Lord, I give this tithe to you. I enter into covenant relationship with you, and I know that you're going to bless my family, you're going to bless the efforts of my hands, and everything that I do is going to spread your name, and Jesus, I want to see you come. I want to see your will be done. That's why we give the tithe the way we do at New Life Christian Center. But that's not an excuse not to give it. That's not an excuse not to give it. Amen? See, you have to understand that the Bible says that if you've entered into covenant with Jesus, you are the seed of Abraham. You are the seed of Abraham. That means whatever Abraham did in the past in giving his tithe is supposed to be reflected in your life. Amen? So every time you come to the high priest, Jesus Christ, and you dispense your tithe, he dispenses upon you a blessing. Now, he doesn't release money, cars, and houses. It's not that. He gives you anointing. He gives you ability. He gives you an insight. He will light up a path. He will give you a revelation that you never knew before. And suddenly, if you walk in that faith, you will have all kinds of prosperity physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially, and in every area of your life. Amen? Hallelujah. A lot of people say, well, you know, I tithe and I don't have a thing. Brother, it's not that you don't have a thing. See, God, he's given you the anointing. He's given you the ability. It's up to you to walk in it now. He's given you the capacity. If he gives you a bank account of $100,000, you got to go to the ATM and cash it. If he gives you a check of $100,000 and you don't cash it, it's not going to do you any good. All right? You got the anointing if you tithe. You got the anointing. Now go and use the anointing. Amen? Go and use it. Now you see, if you're a tither, that means something in the kingdom of heaven. That means something in the kingdom of God. You're supposed to receive preferential treatment from God, from Jesus Christ, if you are tithing. You're supposed to receive preferential treatment. That means that if you're rolling down the highway in your car, and your car breaks down, you go into the hood of your car, you pop that thing open, and you scream at the devil, and you tell him, I'm a tither. Amen? I expect to have all my needs met. You get sick, you declare into the Spirit, I'm a tither. I expect to get all my needs met. Whatever the things that are going on in your life that are giving you problems, if you're tithing, you declare, I'm a tither. All my needs will be met according to Jesus Christ. That means something in the kingdom of God. You see, we need to start declaring these things. And I believe that God is calling us to repent from fear. Because why is the reason that we don't tithe? You see, we're afraid. We're afraid. And fear is not from God. It's not from God. You're afraid that you're not going to have your ends to be able to be met. And in fact, what you're doing is you're buying into the curse. You see, we need to expect. This is Jesus. He's a high priest. We come to him. We give him our tithes. He dispenses a blessing. That is the order of Melchizedek. Okay? We need to repent from fear, and we need to repent from self-sufficiency, thinking that we can do it all by ourselves without God's help. Because when you don't tithe, that's what you're saying. You're saying, I can do it all without God's help. Anyone who despises tithing is signing up for poverty, is signing up for lack, and is signing up for want. So the Lord wants to call us. He's calling us into a covenant relationship with him. Will you be faithful to my covenant with you? 10% is holy to the Lord. 10%. And he says, I will dispense such a blessing upon your life when you give this, that everything, all the nations are going to know that you're blessed because of what I'm doing in your life. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Why don't we stand up and let's give this to the Lord. Amen?